Today's daf in Masechet Sukkah, brought to you from Eretz HaKodesh, is daf Mem, and we're holding right after the Psak of Avtumus. Let's just basically remind ourselves what the last thing that we learned for us. We were talking about the difference between the Etrog and the Lulav in terms of the Kedusha Shviyas. So the Gemara came out that the Lulav has got to be a lulav from the sixth year, because there's no way that it could have been chonet, which is that it just starts budding and growing during the seventh year, if you're going to be able to use it for sukkahs in the seventh year. So the Gemara said, but that's true of the esrog as well. And we came out that there were three different shitot about how we look at the etrog. And the reason that the etrog is different from normal fruits is because it is similar to vegetables in that it does not grow just from rainwater. It requires additional watering. So the three shitot that we had is that according to Rebbe Eliezer, which we brought in the Mishnah before, that it goes according to Chanata, like an Elon, whether that's Nogea defining what year Maaser to take with Maaser Ani or Maaser Sheni, or whether that's Nogea, whether it has Kedusha Shemitah. In the end, the Rabbanan of Husha where goes are exactly the opposite extreme, that it goes according to the vegetable, b'sha'at l'kitato, in both areas, both when it comes to Maaser and when it comes to Shviyas. Then we had Avtumus in that same Braita, paskening basically like Rebbe Gamliel in the Mishnah, that there's a difference, that when it comes to Maaser, over there, it goes according to the Zman of Lakita. But in terms of Shemitah, it goes according to the Ilan era aspect of the Etrog, and therefore it goes according to Chanata. So we came out that our Tana holds like the Rabbanan of Husha, and that the Etrog itself is going to be Kodesh, Begadosh Shviyas, because it was picked in Shviyas. Masha Ein Kein, the Lulav will not be Kodesh Begadosh Shviyas, because it didn't grow in Shviyas, it grew in Shishis. That was the last thing that we mentioned. And we got up to the words, Taim Adululav Bar Shishit HaNichnas LeShvi'it. So the only thing that we've come up with so far to explain the entire sugya has been the fact that this is a crazy situation and that it's not... Second, my Gemara jammed here because I'm using the online. So basically, the only reason that we differentiated between the lulav and the etrog is because we said that the lulav must be a sixth-year lulav, and the etrog is an actual picked in the seventh year, and therefore a seventh-year etrog. But that means that we're taking for granted that a lulav is actually kodesh b'kedushas shviyas. Ask the Gemara, why would that be true? Taima de lulav bar shishita nichnas l'shviyit hu. But had the shviyas, if it would have been a lulav during shmita, then it would have been kodesh. How could that be? Amai eitzim b'alma hu. As far as I know, a lulav is just a piece of wood. You can't eat the lulav. So how in the world did the lulav possibly end up with a kedusha of Shemitah if it says that you're supposed to be la'ochla? It's there for eating purposes, and this is certainly not eating purposes. So why eitzinim be'am mishum kedushat shvi'i? The Tanya, alei kanim v'alei gefanim. If you have leaves, now people use grape leaves to cook with, right? It's very popular. So over there, the question is like this. You will go v'am l'chova al pnei asadeh. So you gather them up for purposes of chuba. Chuba is bachabeh. You were going to put them into storage. And you just collected them from the field to put them into storage. And now the question is, what was your purpose? So if you were l'ketan achila, if indeed you're in the business of making, grape leaves filled, delicious kinds. So there we go. Barnea is giving us another example from his neighborhood. Okay, very good. So if you were collecting if you're going to already show it, you don't think you should share it? I I didn't say you have to eat it. Okay. So the question is, if your purpose was to eat it, so then yesh b'mishum kedushat shvi'it. If your purpose was to use it as kindling, let's say, so then ein b'm kedushat shvi'it. So why is a lulav any different? Answers the Gemara, there it's different because the Omar Kro lo ochla. So it says lachem lo ochla. Doesn't say just lo ochla. So lachem lo ochla means that wherever you have the din of lachem that is similar to ochla, it is considered to be kodesh b'kedusha shviyas. So only things that are mishahan na'atol b'roshaveh. What is the most striking element of consumption in terms of eating? That the consumption, it goes hand in hand with the destruction of the item that you're consuming. That's what lachila means. Now, when it comes to using these things for heating purposes, there it is not true that it's similar to the consumption of eating, because over there, the first thing you have is this bright light. Most of the energy goes out in the fire, in the light. And that fire is not doing you any good until it becomes fundamentally heating, if you're trying to use it for kindling. But it doesn't become fundamentally a energy-intensive heating thing until after it's already ruined because of the initial reaction that destroyed it in that first flame, right? It's only as it carbonizes, then it becomes something that's going to heat. So because of that, you cannot compare it to the nature of achila, where over there, it goes hand in hand. And therefore, this is how Rashi learns. I'll talk about this a little bit later, what the alternatives are. But in any event, if that's the case, so in the things that you are going to be using for kindling wood underneath your oven, right, or your stove, so there, it is not going to be chayev in Kedusha Shviyas, because it's not hana'ato b'yoro shava. So therefore, etzim, the hana'a comes achar biuram. Now there are those who learn that achar biuram means that you only get the full benefit in terms of the ultimate consumption when you actually eat the porridge that was cooked on the stove under which you had heated it with this stuff, right? So now the Ritva learns that over here, but the truth is that Rashi, in a number of places, takes that approach, as we'll see, not exactly in terms of the Eitzim, but in other things. So we have to determine when it is that we're looking at final Hana'ot or where it is that we're looking in the initial Hana'ot. We'll talk about that in a moment. But asks the Gemara, now why are you telling me that if you meant to use it for wood, that it's never Kodesh B'Kedusha Shviyas? So far, we're still just examining our question, right? We're trying to bring a raya to the fact that the lulav, being it's just wood, should not be Kodesh B'Kedusha Shviyas at all. So over here, we're saying, okay, wood is not considered to be Kodesh B'Kedusha Shviyas. Now, ask the Gemara, what about those types of wood that are very oily and that you're going to be using them for light? In which case, if the first burst of light is in fact the primary use of the energy, so then the consumption does go together with the using up and the destruction of the material that you're consuming. So why then wouldn't we include that? Eitzim de mashkan, we're over there, hana'atanu birutan shavan, you're putting them in a torch and you're going to light them and you are burning them up at the same time that you're getting the benefit of their energy. Omar Rava, stam eitzim lahasakahin omdi. The reason is because we do not make our determination of the Kedushat Shviyas by your particular way of determining what you want to use this wood for. We talk about it in terms of sets. And the set of wood, despite the fact that it includes certain woods that are very mishuman, they're very oily, and you can use them for their light, that's not primarily what wood is used for. And therefore, we look at wood as a set, a very important member of a set of things that are not generally used for consumption in terms of the consumption that Shviyas insists on, namely a lachem that should be similar to la'achla. So, stamet sim la'sakainom dim, and therefore, even if you would have taken things for light purposes, that would not have given it a din of Shemitah. Now, the truth is, it seemed, now there's a big question about how to read this. Rashi insists that the girsa that we have originally in the Gemara of Eitzim Lehasaka cannot be true. And he says, look, I've spent my entire life since I was a kid trying to understand this. There is no way to understand it. I have not been able to find a really successful approach to the girsa that we have. And even though it's interesting, because in other places, Rashi actually does follow the girsa that we have. But here is where he says, I found in two places what I believe to be the correct girsa, and it's the only thing that makes sense. Change the word etzim, or stam etzim lahasaka, which was the girsa that is found in most old Gemaras. Change it to etzim dehasaka, that where you have etzim, that are, just the opposite. Change it to lehasaka. So where you have the etzim, and we're going to assume that stam etzim lehasaka, that is the machlokas tanoim, that girsa Rashi doesn't like. And the question of what the din is of etzim that are lehasaka, that is the girsa he prefers, and that itself, the question of whether we make the diuk of lachem la'ochla, and that things have to be b'shat b'yura, it has to be b'yuran, and the hanatan has to come simultaneously, that is in fact the machlokas rishon, machlokas tanoim, the tanya. Ein mosrim peirot shvi'it lo lemishra v'lo lechvusa, was Rabbi Yossi omer mosrim. So we have a very fundamental machlokas over here. Can you use peirot of shvi'is for purposes of either breaking down the enzymes there that we have, the hard covering of the pishtan, and that is called the mishra, where we soak it, and then it's broken down by bacterial action, which is helped if you put in alcohol into it. So the question is, can you use wine to put into your pool in which you're doing the rutting of the pishtan, the linen? What's the word? What am I looking for? Not linen. What's the raw pishtan? Flax. Thank you. Yeah. So that's the question. Or are you just ruining that wine? And the other thing is also they used to use alcohol in the form of wine as part of the laundry detergents. You would put some wine into your washing machine. Don't try this at home. And it's very erratic behaviors of washing machines that have been fed wine before for some reason. And because of that, the question is, can you use your wine during Shemitah for that purpose or not? So here it says, according to the Tanakhama, you cannot. And according to Rabbi Yossi, you are allowed to. So how does this have to do with our sugya? So first, let's take a look at what the Makor is. So my time at the Tanakhama, why can you not use it for Mishra or Tfus, according to the Tanakhama, our diet that we just made? The Omar Kra. So it says in the post, it has to be la'ochla. La'ochla is la'ochla mishra v'la'ochla kusa, as we're about to see why we make that diyuk, even though it says lachem. And Rabbi Yossi says, what do you mean? The Torah says not only la'ochla, it says lachem la'ochla, which means that if this is something that you need, so this is a need that everybody's got, they have to have clean clothes, so why can't you put it in your washing machine? L'chol tzorchechem, afilu l'mishra l'kusa. Now, indeed, the Tanakhama has to be able to understand the Lachem, does it not? So according to the Tanakhama, aktiv Lachem, so why do they say you can't use it in the washing machine? That is the diyuk that we just made. They say, yes, it's true, but Lachem has to be dumya de ochla. So it's Lachem de ochla. What is the comparison between the overall usage of Lachem and ochla? So it means just like achila is hana'ata ubiuro shaveh, so the consumption is at the same time that you are using it up, you are also deriving the benefit from it. Mashen came by mishra uchvusa, hana'atan comes achar biuran. It's going to take, the moment you put that wine into your washing machine and start using it with the clothes, that ruins the wine. Now, you do not get the hana from it. Now, here's the question. You do not get the hana from it until the clothes are clean, or you do not get the hana from it until you wear the clothes. Now, note that this is similar to the question that we had before about the issue of you don't get the hana from the etziv that you put under your stove until you eat the porridge, or you don't get the hana until it's broken down and carbonized where you have the heat. Now here Rashi says, until you actually wear the clothes. Other places Rashi stresses the immediate, the first level of the hana. So the question of exactly what we call an atana birulan shavet seems to be a bit elastic over here. So you could say that as soon as I complete the redding of the flax, that's the hana. Or you could say until I actually am able to make clothes out of the flax, that's the hana. But in either event, you certainly do not get the hana at the same moment that you've wrecked the wine. And that is called the biur of the wine. So according to Rabbi Yossi, how come Rabbi Yossi, who darshins lachem, why does he not take seriously the comparison of the lachem to the la'ochla? So what about Rabbi Yossi, oktiv la'ochla? How does he explain that? Ah, says Rabbi Yossi, I explain it very nicely. I say that it has to be similar to achila, not in this esoteric question about whether the modality of the nene is similar to the instant of the actual consumption and destruction of the object. That's extremely scientific. I mean, I'm talking about something very simple. The Torah compares lachem la'ochla, which means things that are universal needs. Everybody needs to eat. So a lachem, which is similar to lachla, that everyone will agree, I need to have clean clothes, don't I? Everybody needs clean clothes, yes. But how about taking it and making it into a dressing for a wound? It's called a malugma. I mean, how many people need a dressing for a wound? If they're wounded or they're ill, then they'll need this. That's what I'm saying. The Torah is telling it has to be similar to a universal need that everyone will be able to appreciate. And therefore, miboyle, it needs to be similar to la'ochla, but lo l'malugma, not to be used for medical purposes. What? I mean, how do you know it means that? Atal me lo'ochla v'lo l'malugma. How is that difference from lo'ochla v'lo l'kvusa? Well, because it says lachem. Lachem means you can use it for anything you want. So therefore, la'ochla must mean lo'ochla v'lo l'malugma. What? You haven't told me what you're thinking. Mara itel rabotetak vusavalotzieta malugma. Well, tell me what your standards are. Well, what are the criteria over here that you're saying that the kvusa should be included in lachem and the malugma should not? And of course, we presented it with the way that obviously Rabbi Yossi was understanding it, right? So he said, marbe anieta kvusa sheshave b'chol adam. The reason that I believe that the lachem is similar to la'ochla is because it's a universal need. Everybody has to eat, and everybody needs to have clean clothes. Umotzi et halugmai, do not include the medical purposes, she'no shaveh b'chol adam, only somebody who happens to be ill requires it for the medical purposes, and that is the point. Mantan alah, the Tanna Rabbanan, in which case, who would be the author of this braita? La'ochla v'lo l'malugma, la'ochla v'lo l'ziluf. So, you can only use it for eating. You can't use it for medical purposes. La'ochla v'lo l'ziluf. You can use it for eating, but you can't use it as a room spray and to spray the good wine around so you get a good reyach in the house. Well, now the truth is, la'ochla v'lo l'asot mimena afik toizen. You can use it as food, but not as an emetic to get rid of food. So who is this going according to? It's going according to Rabbi Yossi. Not that the Rabbanan disagree. Obviously, the Rabbanan agreed to this, that this is not considered to be hana'ato biuro shaveh, right? Because, I mean, the spray, you don't get the spray. The moment you spray it, you've destroyed the material. You don't get the odor throughout the house until later. Same thing is true. The moment that you take it as an emetic, you don't get the hana from it. It takes a few minutes to work, and so on and so forth. So it's not that the Rabbanan disagree. The Rabbanan agree, but the main thing was left out. Because why didn't it say, la'ochla v'lo l'mishra v'lo l'kvusa? Apparently because it's going on with Yossi, and l'mishra v'lo l'kvusa are included because of the universal need for it. Okay, excellent. Now, getting back So this concludes our discussion of the lulav and etrog interrelationship. However, getting back to the initial mention that we had about giving dmei shmita to an amoret, we said over there, what should a chover do who unthinkingly gave money to the amoret for an etrog, where that was worth more, as Tosfos Bedayik, than the value of shalosh su'udot, because otherwise it's no problem. I have to give him three su'udot. That was worth a lot more than three su'udot, an etrog, that is kosher for sukkahs. And it says over there, well, what you got to do is, you have to say, you take out peirot, and you have to say that the money that I gave to that Am Haaretz, I am hereby mechalel on these peirot, and then you go home and you eat those peirot. Now, the question is, does the pidyon of Shviyas work that way? Now, remember, we already talked about earlier, as Tosis pointed out, the question of whether bechalel, is it possible to be mechalel something that is in somebody else's hands? How exactly would you go about being mechalel? So one approach in Tosis over there was that this, according to that Mani Omar, this is merely a knas. Since you made the mistake of giving that money for the etrog to an amoretz, we make you go through the motions of chilul. The question is there really a concept of chilul? Because remember, what we've been talking about in terms of Shemitah is sale. So when you sell perot of shviit, the money that you gave for the perot shviit become kodesh b'kedusha shviit. That we saw in the Mishnah, and that was the reason why we can't buy the etrog from the amoretz, because we're giving him over money b'kedusha shviit. But how about if I would have perot shviit and I would take money in one hand and the perot shviit in the other hand, and I would say, let the kedusha of these perot go on to the money, which is what I would do with Meiser Sheni, with Ekdesh, right? Can I do that with Shviyas as well? Or is it just this concept of the transference of the value through buying it? That's what the Torah was makpid on in terms of giving over the Kedusha onto the money. Turns out that that's a machlokes. Amar Rabbi Elazar, Ein Shviit Mechalelet Ela Derech Mikach. You cannot take Shmita food like this Esrog and say, I am going to be mechalel the etrog on this money. Nor can you take the money which you gave to the amoretz and say, I'm going to be mechalel the kedusha on this money onto this apple kugel, and then go and eat it. So according to Rabbi Elazar, the whole Gemara before, as Tosis points out, is in a sense irrelevant, but we told you to do this as a knas. So according to him, the whole idea is a knas anyway. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan says, what's the difference, whether it's derech mikach or whether it's derech chilul? Either way, you would be able to take the kedusha of the shviyas and put it onto the other item. Same way you would do it for Meiser Sheni or for Hagdash. So where does Rabbi Elazar get the idea that it's limited to mikach? Well, it says in the Torah, Bishnat HaYovel Azot, now admittedly this is talking about Bishnat HaYovel, and that's not Shemitah, but remember that all the dinim of Shemitah and Yovel in terms of the Kedusha of Paris and so on are exactly the same. We just apply the dinim of Shemitah basically 2 years in a row. So it says, Bishnat HaYovel Azot Tashuvu Ish Elachuzato, and then the next pasuk is V'chi Timkuru Mimkar, we have all of the dinim of what the halacha is, or kenemi alamitacha. So that's auto nu yishatachiv, and figure out the number of years that are left and whatever. But it talks about over there buying and selling specifically. Vechitim kerumim kar o kenemi alamitach. Tainas Rebbe Eliezer, we darshin smuchi. Then that is derech nekach tim kerumim kar. That's the bishnat hayovel, which is the bishnat hashmita. Velo derech chilul. So the Torah is teaching us a halacha that limits the transference of Kedusha to purchasing and not to an act of pidyon and chilul. And Rabbi Yochanan, my taima? So Rabbi Yochanan says, no, it's ki yovel hu kodesh, the idea of yovel is compared to kodesh. Ki yovel hu kodesh ti yevachem in asadeh tochlu et vuata. So what do you want? The Torah is telling me, treat Yovel the way you would treat Kodesh. How do you treat Kodesh when it comes to Pidyon? It says clearly in the Pasuk that Kodesh can be either Derech Chilul, and there it talks about adding Yosef Chamishito Allah, or it talks about the Gizbar selling it. So therefore, the same way Kodesh, by definition, is Bein Derech Mikach, Bein Derech Chilul, Av Shvi'it, Bein Derech Mikach, Bein Derech Chilul, and therefore, according to Rabbi Yochanan, it's possible that the Gemara before was not a Knas, and that it meant that you were actually going to be doing a chilul. That's dependent on the machlokas, whether you can be bechal something in somebody else's hand. But in any event, it certainly makes sense what you're doing, that you're doing an act of chilul. So now the question is, so according to Rabbi Yochanan, what sense does Rabbi Yochanan make of the smichus of the Shnat HaYovel to Kitim Kirum Mimkar? Ah, he says that makes a great deal of sense. Remember that brighter that takes up an entire page, which we're only going to bring a little tiny piece of it over here, that the Gemara, the brighter goes through every single stage at the end of Vayikra, which includes selling your own daughter, selling yourself as an eved, and so on and so forth. And it starts with the violation of Shemitah. And the first stage after violation of Shemitah is that you will be brought to selling your own metaltali. So you don't have to sell your house yet, but you have to sell your furniture. Okay, so that is the only part that we're going to bring over here. And that comes from the smichut, that Bishnat HaYovel HaZot, Tashuvu Ishlach HuZatol, and then Kitim Guru Mimkar is understood as follows. The Tanya. Omer Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chinina, bo re'ei kama kasheh afkar shel shvi'it. Even the lowest level of the Yisurim of Shemitah, or would be the lowest level of the Yisurim that the Torah discusses, the lav haba mechlal asei av la'achla v'lo l'schora, you're not supposed to do business with it. I mean, that is not really one of the lavim of the Yisur of Harisha, or the Yisur of Betzira Kedar Chabotzim, or the Isser of planting. It's a lower level of Shvias. So we're calling it Afkats, like the dust, in terms of the Iker Isser of Shvias. And yet you see, just from doing that, you started off, Adam no seven no ten beperot Shviit, you're trying to make money off of doing business with Shemitah Perot, L'sof mocheret betaltalavet kelav. In the end, Mida keneged Mida, you will be selling the things that you do own. And you will have to sell your own metaltali, and your own things in your kitchen. Shinemer b'shnat ha'yovel hazot ha'shuv v'yishalach v'zatol. And what's the next pasuk? V'somech le'vechi timkru mimkar la'amitach. And that begins the whole step-by-step collapse of the person, which in the end he sells from his achuza, and in the end he sells a bayit, b'batei arechayba, and he's reduced in circumstances to the point where he's going to be taking out loans on repeat, selling his daughter, and ending up selling himself, and then not only selling himself to a Jew, but selling himself to a non-Jew, and in the end becoming a janitor in a church. That was the whole way that the beautiful drasha goes, but we just bring this first part. But anyway, so Rabbi Yochanan certainly can understand the smichus the way that the Brayta explains the smichus. It's beautiful. And what does Rabbi Lazar do with the pasuk that Rabbi Yochanan brings? Namely, that it's kodesh ilachem, and it has the same din of kedusha, ki yovali kodesh, yivarlei lekinetanya. Rabbi Lazar says, that teaches me something else. And that's also a Brayta. And that goes like this. Ma kodesh tofeset damav. The issue is not the modality, whether you do it through kinyan or whether you do it through chilul. Over there, it's simply coming to tell me that in the same way that if you buy kodesh, so the halacha is that that money becomes kodesh as well. So just like kodesh takes over the kedusha onto what was used to pay for it, so to shvi'it is tofeset et tameah, and if you pay for that etrog of shvi'it, so then the money becomes kodesh b'kedusha shvi'es. And in fact, we have brightot that bring both of the approaches, both Rabbi Lazar's approach and Rabbi Yochanan's approach. Tanya gavasi de Rabbi Lazar, v'tanya gavasi de Rabbi Yochanan. Take a look at this bright, exactly like Rabbi Lazar. Shvi'it tofeset et tameah. Now, of course, this is true according to Rabbi Yochanan as well, this part. I mean, even though Rabbi Yochanan didn't stress that that's the meaning the primary meaning of the Kodesh Yelachem, because he says more than that. He was coming to talk about even the modalities, but it's certainly true that in the same way that Kodesh is Tov, is it done now? So, Shmikil Vili Kodesh Yelachem, a Kodesh Tov, is it done of Asur, Av Shvi'it, Tov, is it done of Asura, that's certainly correct. Now, you might think that that is, a complete comparison, huh? Because when Kodesh is Tov, is it done of, what happens? The thing that you bought is Yotzer L'chumen. So if you had an animal that was a Baal Mum, now you want to pay Kodesh for it. You have Kodesh Ben Gabayit, you want to pay Kodesh for it. The money that you give to the Gizbar now becomes Kodesh, and the animal becomes Chol, right? So you might think you could do the same thing with Shemitah. You could buy that Esrog, and now the Esrog would become Chulin, and it would not be Shvias anymore. You don't have to be knowing with the Kodesh Shvias, right? No, not true. Shvias is not Tofeses that Tamei Aviyotze L'chulin. Because that's why it says in the Pasuk that Kodesh Tihiyeh Lachem. Remember that, what is that Lashon of Havaya? Any existential use, Yeshus, Havayut, are means that they are existential definitions and not definitions of essences. And therefore, it's always going to be the same. Tihiyeh means Behavayata Tehei. It must remain always as it was. Was Kodesh? You can pay anything you want for it. The money will become Kodesh, but you will not be able to take off the Kedusha from the original Shvius goods at all. So how does that work in practical terms? Okay, son. Well, it works very clearly. Let's say you bought Perot Shvius with meat. Now the meat becomes Kodesh, and the Perot remain Kodesh, and therefore, Elo ve'elo mitbarin b'shvi'it, you're going to have to be Shomer the time of the beer, both for the perot and for the meat. Okay, now suppose after that you went ahead and you took that meat that now has the kedusha of perot shvius, and you go into a fish store and you decide you want to barter the meat for the fish. So if you go ahead and lakach bebasar dagim, so then now the basar was never kodesh existentially. There was no tihiyeh. The basar became kodesh because of the act of the purchase, right? Fine. So now you can undo that by using the basar to buy fish. Now the fish becomes kodesh, and the basar does not retain its kedusha, but the original perot do. So always the first item, which was the existential shmita, always remains kodesh by kedusha shvias. The secondary item to which it was transferred onto through the act of purchase, that is always going to be the last thing that you purchase will be the carrier of the kedusha that had been transferred onto the money. So now the fish takes the place of the meat. Now, if you then change your mind and decide you'd rather have some wine, so you use the fish to buy wine. Now the fish is not kodesh, but the wine is kodesh. You go ahead and decide you want oil, and you buy oil with the wine. So then the wine is no longer Kodesh and the oil is. So in other words, bottom line means, HaKetzad, the last thing purchased is the only replacement thing that has the Kedusha Shvias, and the original Peros always remain Kodesh by Kedusha Shvias. Now, what do you see in here that leads you to believe that this is going like Rabbi Elazar and not like Rabbi Yochanan? I mean, would Rabbi Yochanan disagree with any one of those statements? Obviously not. They follow directly from Rabbi Yochanan's own comparison of the dinim of Shvias to Kodesh. But do you believe it's coincidental that every last kid, I mean, you were talking about, and then you went and you bought the meat and the wine and the fish. I mean, come on, at least one of those times, can't you say that you exchanged the meat for fish? Why does it say you bought? Now, obviously, this Braita does not see any way to transfer the Kedusha except through buying and selling. But that is Rebbe Lezer Sheet, according to Rabbi Yochanan, and it could have changed. It's giving examples. Well, you went ahead and you bought the original perot with meat. And then you decided you'll exchange the Kedusha of the meat for fish. And then you use the fish to buy wine. And then you exchange the wine to oil. I mean, wouldn't that be broader to include all, not only, I mean, what's the difference? Fish, wine, oil, whatever. So you can use each one of these stories as a way to impart some new knowledge. I mean, so tell me that you were machlif. Why do you keep saying bot, bot, bot? Change over, you know, once in a while you're machlif, not bot. So notice, Miriktoni, he bought, and then he bought, and then he bought. Every single time it's he bought. Alma derech mikach, in derech hilolo, there is no alternative to buying. That's Rebbe Lazar's brighter. Now Rebbe Yochanan's brighter goes like this. Echad shvi'it v'echad maser sheni mitchalalin. Al be'ma chaya v'ov ben chayim ben shkutin. Div Rebbe Meir. So I don't care if you want to be mechal the kedusha of shvius or maaser sheni on birds or on animals or on even chaya, whatever it is. So says Rebbe Meir, and I don't care whether it's on the meat or whether it's on the live animals. Whereas the chachamim said, but notice that the word is mitchalalim. The chachamim omrim only on meat. If there's shkutim, then they're mitchalalim. But you're not allowed to use live animals. Why? Because we are afraid that you will never end up doing the biur. And remember, your miser, you have to get rid of your miser. It's a shana shana kind of thing. And every third year, you're mechuyev to get all of that miser out of your house. Now, suppose you ended up taking the kedusha of that miser, and you went ahead and you put it on a live animal, a live breeding animal. So now the chachamim say to you, okay, come on, guys. I mean, if this is your miser for the year, you're supposed to be eating it up. Eating up my breeding animal when I'm using it to produce so much profit? No way, Jose. So what's going to happen is that you are not going to end up being Mekayim the Biur. And therefore, we make a gezerah shani gadel me'amadarim. If you're going to use them for breeding purposes, then you're not going to be Mekayim Biur. And by the way, this machlokas, Rabbi Meir, and the chachamim, says Rava, is only talking about if you have male animals, because male animals you don't need for breeding. You only need one male for so many nekevas. Why in the world would you keep males around for breeding? But the nekeva is a given. Everybody is meida. If you're talking about a female breeding animal, of course you're not allowed to be bechala. That divrei hakol al shkutin mechalalin. Al-Chayin in Mekhalalin, that's because of the Gezerah Shevi Gadam Yem Adorim. The only Malchokis between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim is whether we will even extend the Gezerah to include males, because people will, if they see that somebody is Mekhalal on a live male, so they'll also be Mekhalal on a live female, and then end up using the female for breeding, and then they won't be Mekhayim the Beard. That's the only Malchokis. But the question of whether we're chayish for you're not being Mekayim the Biur, but definitely chayish, and that is a given in both shitas. Everybody is made.